Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. Shalom Aleichem. Assalamu Aleichem. Namaste. Pak Satnam. Sat Sri Yakal. Teshi Dalek. Ho Lila Tanyan Lasi Yaki. Welcome to this class in Introduction to Sabbatean Kabbalah. I guess more accurately, it is post-Lurianic Kabbalah, which of course an emphasis from the Sabbatean perspective, since that is the perspective from which I have come. Now, as I will do with every class, I will begin by reciting the Kaddish for the Dead and the Mourners of the Dead. Yisgadal Yishgadash Mevabo, Bomo Divro Kirose, Vyamlik Makase, Bekayakon Uvio Makon, Uvkaya Dekor Lesasvayal, Ba'agalo Uvizmam Korilov, Ve'imu Amen, Yehesh Mevabo Mavarak, Leolam U, Omo Omayo, Yisbarak, Ve'yistabak, Ve'yisparal, Ve'yisramam, Ve'yisnase, Ve'yishada, Ve'yisala, Ve'yishalal, Shmedikasho Baraku, Leolo, Min, Korakaso, Ve'shoroso, Tushbikoso, Ve'nekamoso, Da'amiram, Ba'amo, Ve'yimru, Amen. Yehe Shlomo Rabo, Min Shamayo, Vekayim Aleinu Valko Yisrael Bimra Eli Ose Shalom Bimramav Huyashe Shalom Aleinu Valko Yisrael Veimnu Amen. Now in our last meeting I was discussing teaching on the Torah. Of course, all teaching is on the Torah, is it not? I have to laugh when I think of what I just said. I was teaching on the Torah because all teaching is ultimately on the Torah. But in our last class, what I was doing was introducing the concepts that the Torah is not one monolithic document. It is not one thing. There are many Torahs. And I started out by pointing out, I'm going to just summarize shortly here. I started out by saying that there were two Torahs, actually two Torahs, that were given to Moses on Sinai when God revealed himself at, you know, Theophany on Sinai. God gave Moses two Torahs. Because Moses was up on the mountain twice. The first time he was on the mountain, God revealed himself and gave him the Torah da'atzalut. That's Hebrew for Torah of emanations or Torah of closeness. Atzalut means emanation or closeness. Torah means instruction. Okay, this first Torah was written by the finger of God onto the tablets that were brought down from Mount Sinai by Moses, as recounted in Exodus 31:18. It was an entirely spiritual Torah, consisting of a single commandment. Listen to my voice, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. And fortunately, we have this, was recorded later on in the prophets. It was told again to the Israelites through the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 7 verse 23. Listen to my voice and I will be your God and you will be my people. God said, when I first brought your people out of Egypt, I gave them no commandments concerning sacrifice or offerings, burnt offerings. I gave them one commandment and one commandment only. Listen to my voice and I will be your God and you will be my people. So this was written by God's finger on the tablets the first time Moses was on the mountain, and it's called the Torah da'atzalut. However, as we know from the book of Exodus, when Moses came down the mountain, he and Joseph discovered that the camp was engaged in riotous dancing, singing, revelry, sexual acts beyond description, and licentiousness, and they were worshiping in the center of them a golden calf, okay, an idol. But Oral Torah tells us, and I'll talk a little bit about that in a moment, Oral Torah tells us that that golden calf, once the gold was thrown by Aaron, the gold had been gathered from all the people in the camp and been thrown into the fire, it came to life and came out of that fire, as Aaron reported to Moses, in the form of this calf. And it wasn't just an object of gold that didn't move. It was actually dancing in front of the people, and the people were dancing around it. It was living, and they were worshiping it. And they had fallen to this terrible state. It was a shock to Moses. Moses threw down the tablets, realizing that the people were not ready for a purely spiritual Torah, because they were still mired in the sins and the passions of the flesh. They were still under the spell of the body. They were still under the illusions, the maya of this material world. They're not yet ready to think, live, or be on a spiritual level. So Moses threw them down. He had the calf destroyed, ground down, and the dust was ground into the metal shavings or filings that it was ground into, put into water, and then all of the Israelites had to drink it. And then he went back up on the mountain. And he did punish the people. He issued orders for men to go through the camp and kill a certain number of the people that were found to be not worthy to continue being the host of Israelites that came out of Egypt. You see, when Moses led the people out of Egypt, the God's people, that those people were being rescued were the Israelites, the descendants of Jacob, and those weren't all who came, though, because the Israelites had, the Jews had friends. They had close relationships that they had built over the many years they'd been in Egypt. And so these people, when they heard that the Israelites were leaving, were saying, "Well, we don't want to be left here behind. You're like extended family for us. Take us with you." And so Moses agreed to take these people with them, believing that they would be amenable to receiving spiritual instruction and being purified and being able to accept that there's only one God, and that God is Yahweh, and accept that God as their God and follow His commandments, just as the Israelites were expected to do. But it was the people, as Aaron says when he told Moses what was going on, it was the people who demanded to have a God to lead them through the wilderness, because it was the people who told Aaron that Moses went up on that mountain a long time ago. He's been up there for days, and he's not coming back. We saw the smoke and the fire. We heard the thunder and the lightning. He's dead. He's not coming back. Make us a God to guide us and lead us through the wilderness. And so it was the people, meaning the Egyptians, the Gentiles, the non-Jews, who came with the Jews out of Egypt, who demanded and incited the making of a God to replace the Lord of hosts, the one true God, Yahweh, and led to this creation of this golden calf. So Moses had these people, some of these people killed, and that were responsible for this, and he went back up on the mountain. was there for another 40 days and 40 nights. And then this time, God gave him a second Torah, the Torah de Berea, which means literally the instruction of creation, Berea being creation, and it's referred to as the Torah of remaking. It was the remaking of the covenant. The first one, the people weren't found to be ready for, and so it had to be remade. The second Torah consists of the five books, first five books of it's the Old Testament, basically. The first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, the five scrolls of Moses, and the books of wisdom, the wisdom books, the Hagiography, and the books of prophecy, the books of the prophets. It was dictated by God to Moses up on Sinai, and this is covered in Exodus chapter 34, verses 1 to 28. It was a physical Torah, consisting of 613 commandments or laws, plus the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, which were the most supreme of the commandments. And they were all designed to purify this unruly people of Israel and the people who were Gentiles, who were in the process of converting, who were coming along with the Israelites, whom the Israelites were leading out of the darkness of Egypt and into the light of God and His kingdom. So these were laws and commandments designed to, quote-unquote, tame the body, so to speak, to make them once again, make them worthy to once again receive the first Torah, the spiritual Torah, the absolute. Okay, so those were the two Torahs that were given. But we also talked about that there's that this written Torah that was given, this, or not this written Torah, excuse me, got ahead of myself, this Torah of remaking, Torah de Berea, was, it came in two forms. The form we're all familiar with, this is the written Torah that I was mentioning a little bit earlier there. It's in Hebrew, it's called Torah She Biktav, the written Torah. Torah She Biktav, written Torah. This is the Old Testament that we talked about. And we're all familiar with that. That's the Bible, not counting the New Testament, which was an addendum to it. It came several thousand years later. Then, but this wasn't the only Torah that was given by God. During that 40, doesn't take Moses. He only wrote down on the tablets the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. So why was he up there 40 days and 40 nights? It's because he was receiving all of the rest of the information he would later write down in the first five books, and he was receiving the oral Torah. This is oral instruction. This is known in Hebrew as Torah Sheba Peh. Torah Sheba Peh. Okay, and this is the oral instruction given to, it's like the operator's manual for the written Torah. There are many secrets hidden in the written Torah. The written Torah can be seen as like a code. And the oral Torah is like a guide to Rosetta Stone, to the code. Okay, it's elaborations. In addition to that, it's elaborations on the shorthand version, which is the written version of the covenant between God and man, the Israelites, the Jews. Okay, so God gave Moses the written Torah. Now, two things to understand in terms of the Ten Sefirot, the Etz Chaim, the Tree of Life, the diagram of the Ten Sefirot, or Ten Spheres, the Ten Attributes of God, the Ten Revelations of God, which form the Godhead itself. No one of those Ten Sefirot, and I hope now you're referring to your copy of the diagram, or you have in front of you access to copy of the diagram of the Ten Sefirot, Tree of Life. No one of those is God. all of them are God, but there's interactions on all of those channels represented by the 22 letters, all those paths between them. There's all these interactions going on back and forth between Keter and Hakma, Keter and Bema, Keter and Da'at, Keter and Tiferet, between Hesed and Hakma, Hesed and Gevura, etc. You can see all those connections. So all of the forces that arise in each of these 10 attributes, or even personalities of God, go back and forth and influence each other. Okay, and in that diagram, Torah Shebiktav, the written Torah, is symbolized by Tiferet, the sixth of the Sefirot. Sefirot Tiferet, which means beauty of Israel. Beauty of Israel. Okay, why? Because they accepted it. We're taught in the tradition, and whenever I say the word the tradition says, or according to tradition, or whatever, that's a code word. That's code word for Kabbalah. Kabbalah teaches according to tradition, according to Kabbalah. Okay? According to tradition or Kabbalah, the Oral Torah was offered first to all of the 70 nations. Nations in Kabbalah is a code word for Gentiles. The 70 nations who were non-Jew. It was offered to them first on Sinai. It was refused. None of them wanted anything to do with that. They were perfectly fine with the idols they worshipped, with the paganism that they practiced, with whatever it was they had. They were fine. Go away. Don't bother me. We don't believe in you, or we don't want to submit our will to you. We don't want to surrender, as Islam later called it, surrender to God. So the only ones left were the Jews. And God said to the Jews, will you accept my Torah? Will you enter into the covenant with me to keep my Torah? And they said yes. And this was through Moses. So God gave the Torah to Moses for the Jews, for the Israelites, to be his holy people, his priestly nation, to be the light unto the Gentile world, to redeem the Gentile world from their paganism, from their idol worship, and on, from the propensity to want to slaughter and kill each other and everybody else who disagree, who they don't agree with. To lie, cheat, and steal. I'm not going to get into all of the moral issues here, the ethical issues, but this is what written Torah is all about, isn't it? It's about these rules for relationships between man and God and between man and man. That's what the Ten Commandments are about. The first five define the relationship between man and God. The next five define the relationship between man and his fellow man. And none of the other nations wanted anything to do with it. So it fell to the Jews. This is where they were the chosen people. By default, no one else wanted it. But the Jews did. Moses said, we'll take it. And he said, you're the God I spoke to in the burning bush. You're the God who's authored the Torah, and I'm your man. I will convey this covenant. I accept this covenant on behalf of your people, and I will bring it down to them. I will convey it to them, and we will follow you. You will be our God, and we shall be your people. Okay? So this is why Tiferet, the sixth Sephira, is one of the reasons it's known as the beauty of Israel, because it represents the written Torah, which they accepted when no other nation would. Okay, the oral Torah is symbolized, everything can be symbolized somewhere on the diagram of the Ten Sefirot, because that's the Godhead. It contains everything that is possible, that ever has been, ever is now, ever will be, or is even possible to conceive. Why? Because it's God. God is infinite. Nothing exists outside of God. There is no possibility of anything existing outside God. So it's not by accident that we've said, okay, we're going to assign as symbols two of the Sephirot to represent the written Torah and the oral Torah. This has been revealed to earlier sages first of all to Moses. This is a part of oral Torah. All of this, everything in Kabbalah was originally revealed to Moses, although there have been further revelations, and I'll get into that later. Revelation did not stop with the oral Torah being given to Moses. That's part of it was given to the prophets. Part of it was given to the authors of the books of wisdom. Okay, getting back on track here. The other Sephira that represented the oral instruction, the oral Torah, is Malkut, the bottommost one. Okay, the tenth Sephira. Malkut is also known as Shekinah. Shekinah is God's presence on earth. It is God's feminine aspect. It is also the groom, Kala, of Tiferet. The bride, Kala, of Tiferet, who is the groom. And the two are joined together. The two are linked. So there is this link between the written Torah and the oral Torah. Okay, so we know that the oral Torah, the Shekinah, was given to Moses at the same time he was given the written Torah during that 40 days. So if the Shekinah, God's divine presence, was given to Moses on that mountain, when he carried it down, that means that he brought down the oral Torah, meaning that the Shekinah, the divine presence of God in this world, accompanied Moses down off that mountain and stayed with him all the days of his life. How do we know that this happened? Well, there's different ways, but here's an easy way. We'll turn to the written Torah. Exodus 34, 1-28 is where God gives the written Torah to Moses on the mountain. And then starting in 28 and continuing to 35, we have evidence of the Shekinah, the oral Torah, being manifest in Moses. Exodus 34, verse 28 says, "And he," referring to Moses, "was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tablets the word of the covenant, the Ten Commandments." This is the Decalogue, the highest of the commandments of the written Torah. Verse 29, "And it came to pass, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses knew not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with them." Moses knew not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with them. "And when Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come closer to him." Now, what is this? This man's face is glowing. There was a radiant light shining forth from Moses' face when he came down off the mountain. Why? Because he was in God's presence. And what does the divine presence mean? It means the Shekinah. The whole time he was on that mountain. And God gave him that presence, which is symbolized by Malkut, Shekinah. He gave him Malkut, or Shekinah, or Oral Torah, on that mountain. And so God's glory that shines forth was coming out of his face and around his head. His face was literally glowing with a brilliant light. But he didn't know it. But the people did. And they were afraid to come closer to him. Verse 31, "And Moses called to them, And Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. 32. And afterward all the people of Israel came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. 33, verse 33. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. He put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, and by the words went in before the Lord to speak with him, what this is talking about, this went in, is he's just come down from the mountain. So went in is not going back up on the mountain. Went in is a reference to the tent of meeting that God commanded right after he came down off the mountain, commanded Moses to make. He told Moses, make me a dwelling place. And he told him exactly how he wanted it made, how it, the exact size, exact materials, everything. And this was a portable tabernacle, a portable temple that went with the Israelites wherever they went, and about which the tribes, the four groups camped. They were divided into four groups, and they camped on four sides. And the Levites stayed with the tent, which was in the middle, and served the tent of meeting and served God. This was God's dwelling place. This was where the presence of the Lord was. So when Moses finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord, that is into the tent of meeting, the portable temple, to speak with him, God, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spoke to the people of Israel that which he was commanded. Now we can take this to mean that within Moses was the Shekinah, which is a part of God, a living being. And indeed we are taught that Torah is a living being that existed prior to the creation of the world. I'll get into that later. We don't have time for that right now today, unless I run over like I have the last two meetings, and I don't want to do that. Okay, so within Moses, evidence of which was the glow coming from his face, was the Shekinah. And when he went into the tent, he took the and it frightened people, so he wore a veil whenever he was outside the tent of meeting where God was. When he went in, he took it off. And what was Moses doing when he went into that tent and took that veil off? He was going into the Holy of Holies in the tent, and there he was meeting the Holy One, blessed be He, Tiferet, the groom, the bridegroom, and inside him was Shekinah, the bride. And he was uniting the bride and the groom. He was carrying out symbolically and physically, right then and there on a spiritual plane, the highest gamos, the holy wedding. He was bringing, which was inside him, had taken up residence in him permanently here, the Shekinah. He was bringing her into the tent to meet face to face with the Holy One, blessed be He, Tiferet. Written Torah, oral Torah. Tiferet Malkut / Shekinah. And when that happened, God would command him and tell him what to do and teach him what to do. Moses was the vessel for the Shekinah. And then the final verse here is 35, says, and the people of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him, meaning God. So, as we said, Moses' face shone because God gave him the oral Torah, which is a living divine being, the Shekinah, the bride of God, God's feminine manifestation in this world, God's presence on earth. This light that is given off by the Shekinah is also known as God's Kavod, K-A-V as in Victor, O-D as in David, which means literally glory. Now, I know you've all heard of this before. God's glory, the glory of God. Well, what that is this is this light coming off, being given off by the Shekinah, and it simply cannot be contained. It pours out of Moses and anyone else upon whom it's bestowed. It's been bestowed on others. That comes to my mind immediately here is Sarah, Abraham's wife. Sarah was the Shekinah descended upon and stayed with Sarah. After Abraham was circumcised, after he circumcised himself, his name went from Abram to Abraham, the Hebrew letter He was added to his name, and at the same time, Sarai, his wife's name, went from Sarai, had a He added to her name also, Sarah. And that He is the Holy Spirit. It's symbolic of the Holy Spirit, the Shekinah, in this case. And the Shekinah stayed with her all the time. And it is told by us in the tradition that the Shekinah's presence hung over Sarah's tent in her entire life. And people went to her. And she was a greater prophetess than Abraham was a prophet. Okay, so the glory of God was in her. The glory of the presence of the Shekinah was in her, as well as in Moses later. Now, let's talk a little bit about this, making the face shine. I did a quick search and went through the Old Testament and came up with about 10 or 11 verses here in which this metaphor, we can call it metaphor, but I believe that this is literal, not just metaphorically here, this is it literally, that the face shines. Okay, and I'll go through these quickly here as I'm running out of time. Numbers, chapter 6, verse 25. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. This is a part of the blessing of the priestly blessing. It was the words were actually given to Moses to give to Aaron for Aaron and his sons to use. And if you've been to any Protestant church, especially the Anglicans or the Episcopals, you know at the end of the service they say, "May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you." And it goes on from there. I think this is the second line. Okay, that's number 6:25. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. So here we have the same metaphor, the same term. The light has come, being what? The light of Royal Torah, the Shekinah, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The light from the divine presence has come upon you. When the divine presence is upon you or in you, there is a light that shines forth. And then there's a number of psalms here. Psalm 31, verse 17. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your loving kindness. This is a prayer of David to God. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your loving kindness. Psalm 67, verse 2. God be gracious to us and bless us, and let his face shine upon us. Selah. Let his face shine upon us. It's the shining of the face upon you that imparts upon you the glory of God, the Shekinah. So if God makes his face to shine upon you, he's imparting his Holy Spirit to you. Psalm 80, verse 4. Restore, O God, and let your face shine, and we shall be saved. Verse 8, same Psalm 80. Restore us, O God of hosts, and let your face shine, and we shall be saved. Almost verbatim the same as verse 4. Psalm 80, verse 20. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine, and we shall be saved. Why do we have here in Psalm 80, verses 4, 8, and 20, almost the same words? Restore, O God, restore us, O God, restore us, O Lord, God of hosts. Let your face shine, let your face shine, let your face shine. We shall be saved, we shall be saved, we shall be saved. That's a pretty important concept to be repeated three times through Psalm 80 by David. We've got three things going on here. Restore us, O God. meaning that we are in need of restoration. We have lost our attachment to you, God. We have become embroiled and entangled and ensnared in the illusions of this material world. We're involved with our family, with our friends, our relatives. We are under the rudder, God. We're under the dominion of our enemies who oppress us. Restore us to our former position, our former purity, our former strength. And how does David say to do it? Let your face shine. And by letting your face shine, we shall be saved. That means let the Shekinah come through you. And let the light of the Shekinah, your glory, Kavod, come through you, shine upon us and enter into us. And then the Shekinah, the Holy Spirit, shall be in us and we shall be saved. Baruch Hashem. Praise be to God. Okay, Psalm 104, chapter 104, verse 15. And wine that gladdens the heart of man, and oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengthens the man's heart. This is imitatio Dei, the imitation of God. Wine and bread, the two elements of the communion are in this verse. Wine that gladdens the heart of man, and bread that strengthens the heart of man. The wine of the communion gladdens our heart. And it does. And bread, it's got the protein and the carbohydrates, and that's what gives us strength, energy. But notice, not our minds, not our souls, but our hearts. It's our hearts that are strengthened and gladdened. And what's the other thing? Oil. To make his face shine. To make his face appear in imitation of God, of the Shekinah. Baruch Hashem. Psalm 119, verse 135. That's a long song. That's a long song to God. Let your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. Yes. Isn't that appropriate? The face that shines is the Ruach HaKodesh, divine inspiration. Ruach HaKodesh is divine inspiration, the Holy Spirit. The face that shines is the Kavod, God's glory. And what's God's glory? His Shekinah. And what's His Shekinah? The Oral Torah. So we have the two things here. Let your face shine upon your servant, because that's what initiates the next. What follows this is the teaching of your statutes. So he's asking God, Oral Torah, the feminine part of God, the Shekinah, to teach me your statutes. Teach me to walk in your ways, O Lord. Ecclesiastes 8:1. Who is like the wise man? And who knows the meaning of a matter? A man's wisdom makes his face shine, and the boldness of his face is changed. Wisdom in Hebrew is Chokmah. Chokmah is the second of the Sefirot. Chokmah is also called Reshit, beginning. So, wisdom, the evidence of wisdom being in a man, in a wise man, is that his face shines. Like Moses. Moses' face shone. That was the evidence to the Jews that he was a wise man, because he had God's glory shining and radiating out of his face. It was there for everybody to see physically. Daniel chapter 9, verse 17. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications, and cause your face to shine upon your sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. He's asking here, Daniel is asking here, for God to let his face shine upon the sanctuary that is desolate. He's referring here to the temple, I believe, that has been destroyed. And he's asking for... And the temple was the dwelling place, the first permanent dwelling house or home for God's Shekinah. She was to dwell in there, in inside the Holy of Holies, to be united with the Holy One, blessed be He. That was their home, but it was destroyed. And so Daniel is saying, now therefore, O our God, hear our prayer, the prayer of your servant, and his supplications, and cause your face to shine upon your sanctuary that is desolate. Excuse me. For the Lord's sake. In other words, reunite your Shekinah to the Holy One, blessed be He, for the sake of the Lord, which is now many, which is scattered among His people, which is in exile with His people. Bring your Shekinah out of this exile. Let your face shine, the kavod, the radiance of your glory. Bring the Shekinah, which is the Shekinah, bring her back into the sanctuary. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. So this is a statement to us right here. Those of us who have Chokmah, wisdom, shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. And those who turn many to righteousness, those who teach, those who lead by example, those who do good deeds, those who study Torah, those who worship God, those who do God's will in this world, those who submit to God, meaning who sublimate their egos to their will, to the will of God. They are the righteous, the tzaddikim. They shall shine like the stars forever and ever. Amen, v'amen. I'll stop here. Baruch Hashem, thank you, O Lord, for the lessons that you have revealed to me to be taught, and for giving me the words to say. For I always ask that it is not I who teach, but you who teach through me. That it is not my words, that anyone who is a student and hears this, hears, but your words. And I say this for your glory, the glory of your name, and the glory of your kingdom forever and ever. In your holy name, as you have taught us to say, Ahaya, Asher, Ahaya, Amen, V'Amen. This class, thank you for attending. This class will be rebroadcast tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you're welcome to come again, or to tell your friends and ask them to come. And hope to see you there, and may God bless you and walk with you, and may He protect you, preserve you, and strengthen you, and may you go from strength to strength. Sigizant.